My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is amazing how many people have come out of the woodwork to talk about these newborn baby bunnies in my yard. They are really sweet. Just seeing them squirm in the hole and responding to our voices, but hearing them cry was what first alerted me, because I'd never heard baby bunnies cry before. They are so tiny. Their eyes aren't even open. I know they weren't there on Saturday late afternoon because I would have heard them. I was running the mower in a different part of the yard, but I was back out in the backyard for 2 hours, and Bob was too. He was out there working on my bike and replacing the tube of my bike tire. And so I know that we would have heard them. Daisy would have found them. She was out there on Saturday afternoon. And that's actually how I was alerted to them. I heard the crying and then realized that I would have found them in the 9-inch tall grass. But because she was over there rooting around, I was able to get her away immediately. And then Bob came out and figured out that they were bunnies. And I really didn't want to scare them, but I did want to take a couple of close-up photos, and they are so sweet. Oh my gosh, their ears are teeny, no larger than the end of a Q-tip, and their eyes are still closed. They're just squirming all around, really hoping that Mama is taking care of them and that she's with them tonight so that they have food and they know that they're safe. But right now, there's this really funny, tall grass perimeter, like you're on the savannah or something in Africa. So you can check out the photos on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We have a poll up on Twitter. I don't know that it's up on Facebook, but we have a poll up on Twitter. Which of these final four playoff series is the best in your opinion? Which one will you considered to be game seven potential? I like game sevens. I don't care what the sport, I don't care who the teams, it's just dramatic when it's winner take all. So if you would like to find us on either social site, you can do that. You can weigh in. We're asking you which athlete. I didn't really intend to have so much interaction on social, but we're asking you which athlete you would take in a game seven. If you had just one choice. Oh, the computer just shut down all by itself. Sweet. Don't you love it when it does that? I would say that the computers are from 1982, but they're probably from the 90s now.
Don't be rude to 1982.
Well, and we still do have some desktop monitors in our studio that probably are from the 1980s. They might be Commodores recycled, but the laptops that we have aren't that old, maybe another decade earlier or another decade later. But they still have their own schedules. And so this one just shut down all by itself.
Is a charger in?
Oh, the charger is in. Yep, and the light's on. Sometimes people try to shove that charger into the wrong hole in the side of the laptop. We've had all kinds of things happen. Upside down, plugged in. Yeah,
very primitive.
Anyway, we'll see if I get back to it. I might have to sign into everything again, but you can still find us on Twitter and on Facebook. We had a game seven on Monday night. It was on the ice, and it was the Edmonton Oilers posting a 3-goal lead in the second period, only to see the Vancouver Canucks fight back.
Left wing to center for Pettersson, dumps it behind the Oiler net. Skinner out of the goal to handle. Leaves near corner for Desharnais. Centering pass, McLeod turned it over. Comes to Carly, right to the net. He scores! And Rogers Arena comes to life. Connor Garland with a huge goal in the second half of the third period. Makes it 3-1. Right circle for Hughes. Darting into the corner. Spins away from Nugent Hopkins. Top of the point. Hronek. One-timer. He scores!
That is Canucks radio with a furious comeback in the third period. A couple of goals for Vancouver, the home team, the crowd going crazy. Yeah, the guys never gave up, which I love. And they are one of the league's younger teams now. Maybe think about them where Edmonton was a few years ago as they're trying to get to the point where they're relevant. Now Vancouver is maybe trying to follow that same track of Edmonton, though obviously the Oilers have one of the best players on the planet. So this was a bit dramatic, more dramatic than it needed to be. And you'll hear some of the Oilers talk about it in a second. But yeah, they were still forcing the issue, still pressing in the final 30 seconds.
30 seconds to play in game seven. Hughes has to hurry. Yanmark bearing down. Edmonton 3, Vancouver 2. Here's the finish. Hoglander will chip it in from the left-hand side. Ekholm reverses past him. Hyman needs a clear. Pettersson all over him. 12 seconds. Center pass, one timer blocked. Rebound loose. Miller fans. The Oilers clear up the right-hand side. Hyman lost it. 5 seconds. Roenick blasts it. It was tipped into the far corner. And Edmonton has won game seven, 3-2. The Oilers advance to the Western Conference Final. They'll play Dallas Thursday night. This game, this series is over.
I love the way that Jack Michaels kind of growls at us, but he growls at such a ferocious pace and energy that's a little bit scary.
Over!
But he's awesome. And if you missed it, he joined us as he was on the team bus in the first hour of the show. They were headed for the plane. And so I'm glad that we were able to catch up with him before they took off for home. Second West Finals for the Oilers in the last 3 years. Can they bust through and get back to the Stanley Cup Final? So it's kind of neat to have the Game 7 atmosphere and have it live up to the hype. But if you ask Leon Draisaitl or Chris Knobloch, yeah, they were hoping that it was not that stressful.
They're going to push at some point. They're a really good hockey team over there. So for the most part, I thought we played really well. Would we like to keep it a little less stressful? Yes, probably.
Got a little stressful, and I think Leo said it perfectly. We would have preferred it to be less stressful and kind of cruise to the end of the game. And, you know, for the most part, I think for 60 minutes in Edmonton and about 50 minutes here, we played a pretty good game.
I like the fact that the Oilers have a bunch of experience that they can take to the next level. Jack reminded us they started out 2-10 this season, I believe, and had to fight, scratch, claw. It's a long season, so they had time. But the steadiness, the stability of having these veterans, these two guys who not only are among the best point scorers in the league, or they are the best in the league, but also they've got a bunch of playoff series under their belts. Edmonton is now 8-4 all time in game sevens. Of course, they have a storied history that predates this group of Oilers. As for the Canucks, I can imagine that they will use this similar to what we talk about with young teams, like the Oklahoma City Thunder is another example. Their first foray into the playoffs, the way that they were, and the fact that they battled all year long, they were able to earn a fairly high seed. And so, one seed. Were they the one seed? They were the one seed, right? They the two seed? The two. Thunder. No, Thunder was the one seed. Yeah. So the fact that they had the one seed and they're the youngest team in the NBA, I mean, that speaks volumes, right? That's huge for them. Now, anything they do on top of it, they can kind of look back at this as their foundation. The Canucks, they're one of the youngest now. And even if they were never supposed to make this a game seven against the Oilers, they were able to force the issue. And JT Miller had a game winner going back. Was it game five?
Yeah.
Right. So I love the fact that they just kept forcing the Edmonton Oilers to kind of slam that door over and over again.
They came out hungry. We had some really good looks and didn't get the puck on net, so I think the shots might have been a little more lopsided than they were, but I thought they outplayed us at the beginning, and I actually thought the second period, we started to take control of the game and just kind of couldn't get that extra bounce tonight. But I just love this. I love the team, man. I just love that we don't give up ever. It's a good sign.
Losing always sucks. It stings, but, makes you even hungrier. Like I said, I think I told you guys before, I'm lucky I got the staff I have. They were unreal. The organization has been unreal to me, and, the staff. So for me, what I've learned, it's, you get a connected group from the management, coaching, all the way down trainers, staff here. When you're connected, you can do some special things.
Part of what the Oilers did really well was limit the power play for Vancouver. 0-for-3 last night, but it wasn't just power play. It was also scoring chances overall. It was kind of second half of game six, final period of game six, final two periods into this game seven. They really were able to limit the quality looks for the Canucks, and that's in large part due to their defense. And again, I do think experience plays a role in that. Not to mention the Canucks, they've got a guys that are inexperienced, including their goalie, who, as we heard from Jack, and it was a big story during this series, was just kind of thrown into the fire. Go, be free and do some goalie things without much experience at all in the regular season, forget playoffs. But what do you start the season as their third goaltender?
Yeah, their regular goaltender, Thatcher Demko, an American-born goalie, he's tremendous. And the fact that they've gotten this far without him is amazing.
Yeah. So we've got now a Final Four that features two teams from Dallas-Fort Worth, the Mavericks and the Stars. If you want to take our poll about the Final Four series, you can do that. It's up on both Twitter at Amy After Hours and our Facebook page. And then on my Twitter is where you can find the photos of the bunnies. I just got this tweet. The radio show brought me here to see these rabbits. I like it. Yes, we want you to go and check out the photos of the rabbits. And also our friend Luke Braun, who is the Locked On Vikings podcast host and a Vikings analyst. He joins us routinely a couple times during the season. He is a rabbit owner, so he has pet rabbits, and just saw the photos and wrote back in all caps, "Amy, I guess I should ask him for some
bring
advice."
Him on as a rabbit insider.
Right, seriously. Now forget Vikings. It's just about the rabbits. And he is always posting videos of him feeding the rabbits and that kind of stuff. But I don't know if he has any experience with babies in a yard. 855-212-4227. Malcolm is in Toronto. What do you think, Malcolm?
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I just...
I just wanted to hang up on you. Just got this tweet from Marcus. I have bunnies every spring. The mother will come back at dusk to check on them and feed. I always know because my dog Harley will go lay by the nest like she's guarding them. Oh, of course, that keeps the mama from getting back to them, right?
Well, Malcolm, who just rudely hung up on you, was going to tell a story about how his daughter has a rabbit and a cat, and they have do all these adventures together. And I was really excited to hear them, but sorry.
Dang, Malcolm. That was the worst possible cell phone gaffe in the history of cell phone gaffes. Marcus says she checks on them. So this is his dog, Harley. She checks on them when she goes out like they belong to her. He said, my dog, Penny, is another story. Uh-oh, I guess you have to watch Penny. Those pennies, man, they can be sneaky.
Those pennies.
Would it be terrible if the next dog I get, I also name her Penny? It'd probably be too painful. I don't think I can.
Well, it would have to be like a penny, too. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But you don't call it Penny 2. You just, that's its name on paper.
Yes. Penny Jr.
Jet, that's probably better.
Penny the second.
Probably better.
I don't know, though. That might be hard.
Well, like, it's like Ugga, right? There's like 45
True.
Uggas now at this point.
True. They're men, though. And men seem to like that whole, hey, he was named after me. I'm not sure it's a, women get as excited about it. However, just in, I don't know, just in general, I think it would be hard for me anyway. I still miss Penny so much. I can't even tell you.
Of course.
It's been nearly 3 months, and it's like it happened yesterday. Oh, gosh, I miss her so much. I know many of you can identify, even as we're talking about baby rabbits that are not my pets, not my pets. We're not keeping the baby rabbits. We're not putting them in a box. We're not bringing them into the house.
It's encroaching that territory. We're
getting there. No, we're not taking the rabbits from their mama. Nope. Anyway, check them out on Twitter or on Facebook. There's some people who apparently hate rabbits. They've posted some, yeah, some, get rid of them!
What?
It's not as though I would have chosen this. I get that rabbits are prolific in their reproduction, and in addition, they eat a lot of things. But I don't have a garden. We just have flowers, number one. I don't love the hole in the yard. We'll have to fill that up with dirt, number two. But now they're babies. I'm not... I can't just kill rabbits. That's... No.
Wow. You're in charge of other life now.
Thank you, Jay. Yes, these are lives.
They cannot fend for themselves.
Yes, even if they were AI generated, they are in fact lives. It's like Jurassic World, right? Where they were manufactured dinosaurs right. in a lab, but now they're alive, and so they're animals.
They're sentient.
Yes, that. Anyway, if you have any type of insight about how we should handle these rabbits, I like the suggestion of a wildlife center. I'll have to check and see if there's one near my neighborhood, because they definitely do rehabs, right? You can kind of see them. Like if you, I don't know, you drive through a particular state, you'll see signs for wildlife centers, and you stop and visit a few, as I did when I lived in Oklahoma. And a lot of times they'll have a very eclectic mix of animals because people will bring them and say, help me, help me. These babies are so tiny. 855-212-4227. Let's see. Coming up, we've got the start of Celtics and Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. And we'll hear from the Celtics next hour, maybe. It's been a few days for them. But Draymond Green, he is going to be apparently on site for the Eastern Conference Finals. And I have to remember who tweeted it. But once it was announced that he was on site, there was a bit of a reaction to it, because he's not a huge fan of the Pacers, right? And so some of the Indiana faithful or those who are associated with the Pacers are a little bit salty over Draymond being at the Eastern Conference Finals working for TNT, because they think he's already got it out for the Pacers or doesn't really...
No disrespect.
Right, no disrespect, but that's the worst team in the league. No, he didn't say that. Anyway, on his own show, you'll hear what he has to say about the Eastern Conference Finals and the Pacers. And Bronny James, I don't know. I'm a little nervous that the Lakers are going to make a decision that sets the franchise back. And I'm not sure it's worth it. You'll hear from Bronny, though, about his decision to go pro. Not GoPro, like a camera, but to go pro in basketball.
Are GoPros still popular?
Well, we watched the season finale of Tracker, which is TV's number one show this fall. You remember we saw Justin Hartley in Vegas?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so it's a CBS show. We watch it either on DVR or on Paramount Plus. We got started on it during our honeymoon, and I've quickly found out that when Bob likes a show, that's all he wants to do. So he's a little bit of an addict. Yeah, he's a total binge watcher. And that's all he wants to do until the show is done. He doesn't like to spread it out, savor it. Nope, wants to watch it all the way through. Anyway, we just watched the season finale. I taped it from CBS on Sunday night. Now remember, you may remember, this was the show that led out of the Super Bowl. Remember every year there's a show that gets the coveted spot post Super Bowl, and it's already been, it was renewed for season two before they ever got four episodes in.
That's why we saw Justin Hartley in Vegas.
Yeah. So Justin Hartley was standing, it was in front of the Bellagio, right? Which is
Absolutely.
Where the set for CBS was there. And he had just done a hit with the CBS set with the fountains behind and the Bellagio above up on the hill. And I said to Jay, do you know who that is? That's the actor, Justin Hartley.
You nailed him.
Right there. Really popular from This Is Us. And now he's got this second series that is, it's so good. It's so good. Anyway, we were watching the season finale of Tracker. And where was I going with this? There was some reason why I brought up
GoPros.
Okay. They had a whole theme in this particular episode about GoPro cameras. So they, I think they're still used by, we'll call them amateur sleuths and amateur storm chasers and that type of thing. Yeah, so if you watch Tracker, they were featured in the season finale.
Oh, no, I'd have to check it out.
Yeah, I've never had one. By the way, in Hawaii, the number of people who had selfie sticks was alarming.
Oh, of course, right?
Now, thankfully, it was not tourist season, and we were pretty much on our own a good portion of the time. But when we went to the tourist trap areas, I thought that was it. I thought we were done with selfie sticks.
You know, Disney World has banned selfie sticks.
Someone actually... So I was up on top of Mauna Kea, which is nearly 14,000 feet up. The Hubs is sitting in the car because he's too cold. And I'm out there... kind of on the, well, near one of the telescopes, because they have a bunch of telescopes up on top and observatories. I'm out there kind of closest you can get to the edge of the summit next to this telescope. And I'm trying to take a selfie, but you can't really see as much behind you when you take a selfie. So a couple asks me if I want a photo. And I say, yes, thank you so much. They take my photo and I offer to take their photo. Oh no, we have a selfie stick. Okay.
I mean,
in fairness, they were German, but still.
I would be a little insulted. I know. A little bit.
I was like, you could have me or you could have your damn selfie stick.
They made their choice.
All right. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. Baby bunnies, baby. A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Well, this was a splendid performance when the Knicks did make.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take that run. The Pacers could not have responded any better than they did.
That response was so impressive in the third quarter. This building was as loud as it can be, really getting the Knicks team going, and the Pacers were able to put them back to sleep.
The Indiana Pacers are in the Eastern Conference Finals.
We're not all perfect players or perfect coaches, but this group really, when things get tough, got tough today, they just problem-solved their way through it and really kept the energy from within. So I'm really happy for them.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Rick Carlisle and the Indiana Pacers, maybe a surprise entry to the Eastern Conference Finals. Remember, they set a record 67.1% field goal shooting. That's crazy. And that was down from the first half where they shot 76%. Oh my gosh. And even if the Knicks had not been shorthanded, now I know their defense is pretty gritty and they can make it tough on opponents, a little bit like the Miami Heat, but they were down so many of their important players, including Jalen Brunson. The Pacers shot at such an alarming clip that they actually silenced the Madison Square Garden fans for quite a while. So credit the Pacers, but not everyone is giving them their due. He's such a troublemaker, although I would really like to host a show with Draymond Green. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He will be part of the TNT coverage moving into the conference finals. What I read is that he'll be on site for some of these games, the broadcast, right? So they have a studio show, but they also move their desk to the site of some of these series. Don't know if it's both the conference finals and the NBA finals, but he will be on site moving forward. He's part of their coverage the rest of the way. I hope that he's able to make his pitch for the Warriors to keep Klay Thompson. Anyway, on his own show, the Draymond Green Show, which is a podcast, he still refuses, steadfastly refuses to give the Pacers any credit for what they've accomplished.
And so Jackson has this question on here, like, do you owe the Pacers an apology for calling them an 82-game team? And the answer is no. You know, you gotta take your hat off to the Indiana Pacers. I still personally think they're an 82-game team, but I didn't think the Knicks was real, so, like, somebody had to get there. Like,
oh, God.
But now it get real. Like, now you get Boston. They play well defensively versus New York, but that's a different animal. This is a totally different animal. I got Boston. No problem. Should be a gentleman's sweep. So no, there's no apologies, Jackson. They got to the conference finals. Somebody have to get there. It's the East. We get it. Got it. Somebody got to go. And, you know, but congrats to them. That's dope.
Dope.
I think this is going to be the end of the road for them.
All right. It's okay. The Pacers won't mind proving him wrong if it's not a sweep or if somehow they come up with an upset. It wouldn't be the craziest thing ever. The Celtics have been upset a couple times in the recent years of the playoffs. So it's not like they haven't felt that disappointment. Last year has got to be right up there on the list as most disappointing of their, you know, their playoff potential to end the way that it did against the Heat. Especially the way they got down and then managed to force the game seven, then got freaking blown out and they got destroyed, Jay just said. I saw him read his lips in their own building on game seven last year. So there's a lot for them to prove. I don't think they're going to take the Pacers lightly, but neither did the Knicks. And look what the Pacers were able to do when they got hot. And they had, what, six players in double figures. Anything can happen. It's pro sports. Well, it's just sports in general. Anything can and will happen. And we'll hear from the Celtics as we get set for the Eastern Conference Finals to tip off coming up on Tuesday evening in Beantown. But we had talked about this with Matt Moore last night. If you missed it, the conversation is on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Posted the link just to the interview with Matt. So longtime NBA insider, used to be our colleague here, now is with the Action Network. And at the end of our conversation, because he was at the game between Denver and Minnesota, their game seven. So after talking about the Nuggets and the Wolves and dethroning the champions and then looking at these final two series in the NBA, I threw in a question at the end about the Lakers, what they're looking for in a coach, what makes sense for them. And he really does think that they're torn. Do they cater to LeBron in what is likely his final season? Does that mean not only hiring a coach that he wants, which is what Matt believes, so essentially you're throwing away a year and just bringing in a token coach, or does it also mean you draft Bronny no matter what? Like, you go and you get him whether or not you think he's worthy, because LeBron will want to play with his son. In order to keep him, you're going to have to keep his offspring as well, or sign his offspring as well, his progeny. I wouldn't do it if I'm the Lakers. I get that they won a title in 2020, and LeBron is one of the greatest players of all time. He's not a lifetime Laker. He's, I don't think, integral, she said, integral to their storied franchise history. If there's no LeBron, they're still the Lakers. They're still an iconic franchise. That's just me, though, right? So I'm not in the Lakers front office. Maybe they believe that LeBron has been this bridge and it's helped to carry them through some really difficult years. Now, remember, post-Kobe, they were stuck for a while because they did. They catered to Kobe, and they essentially gave him the money, the contract, and anything that he wanted in his final year. They waited for him to come back. They were obviously not going to force him to leave or do anything that would upset Kobe in his final season. He was an iconic Laker. LeBron's a Laker. So is Anthony Davis. But I just don't see them as being two guys that you think of when you start listing the all-time greatest players ever to wear the purple and gold. I just don't think it's that. And yes, there is a championship. There is a ring. But if they continue to cater to him, they're going to end up where they've been the last couple of years. That's just how it's going to go. They've got a revolving door of coaches. Darvin Ham was someone he wanted. They can only go so far with this current formula. And I believe if they do bring in J.J. Redick or some coach that he wants, some coach whose ear he has, and they draft Bronny, that all they're doing is prolonging what is kind of this hamster wheel that they're in. Not a bunny wheel, but a hamster wheel. But they do have the 2020 title to show for it, so maybe it's worth it to them. 855-212-4227. Bronny himself was on Sirius XM NBA radio, and he was asked the question about why he's going pro at this point.
You know, I always want to end up where I'm happy the most. Mom has always told me, you know, take me where my heart wants me to be. And, you know, I just found happiness in what I'm doing right now, and I feel like that's where I want myself to be at.
All right, so he's saying this is what makes me happy. This is where I want to go. Thing is, if you listen to or read most NBA draft analysts, right now they would tell you if he wasn't a James, if he wasn't LeBron's son, teams wouldn't be even considering him because of the limited time on the court in college, because of the heart issue. They just feel like they haven't seen enough of him. Granted, there's a lot of potential there, but they wouldn't be drafting him in the first round and maybe not drafting him at all. Maybe signing him as a free agent, if anything. However, his name changes a lot. So he was also asked on Sirius XM NBA radio on this mantle that he carries as LeBron's son and trying to play hoops.
It's tough. A lot of criticism gets thrown my way. But, you know, I got to deal with it. They don't know what I've been through. But, yeah, I just try to make the best of my opportunities that's given to me.
All right. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Generally happens in early July. Now, the draft is late June following the finals, and then you'll start to see free agency. And I don't know the exact date for the start of free agency, but I do know it's usually around July 4th. I will never forget the week of July 4th when I hosted nightly on my previous network leading up to a Thursday primetime special in which Jim Gray and LeBron James sat down for him to let all the contenders know he was taking his talents to South Beach. That was July 4th week. I remember every single night. It was the only topic for those 5 days and beyond, of course.
I remember that shirt he was wearing, the candy cane shirt.
That's right.
That was insane that night.
He definitely has learned his lesson. He was, you want to talk about being criticized. He was hammered for the way that he did that. And I agree. Not so much that he can't turn it into a special to benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs, but the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers found out on that TV special, I thought was extremely unprofessional. And so he got hammered for it and kind of got defiant and nasty and went to the Heat. They won two rings there, and those were his first two rings. So I'm sure he's not regretting it. And then went back to Cleveland to make amends, if you will. But I just don't think a guy who has jumped around and changed teams multiple times qualifies for the same treatment as does a Kobe Bryant. But that's my opinion. Again, I'm not even sure who's making the decisions with the Lakers, so there's another question. Who Rob Pelinka's listening to? I'm not sure.
Just back to just Bronny as a prospect for a second. I saw so many draft analysts and stuff, like during March Madness and the run, say Zach Edey was not a fit to be an NBA prospect. He shouldn't be in the top 10. And did you watch Zach Edey rip through the entire March Madness?
And apparently he's had an incredible, he had an incredible NBA camp.
So just how could he not be an NBA prospect? And we watched him dominate the college game. But Bronny is going to be this NBA prospect you should draft? I just don't understand how that's possible. Bronny hasn't even played. And Edie's, how you're not going to draft Zach Edey, but you're going to draft Bronny?
Not to mention he's a unique body type. How many guys do you have that are 7'6" that can move the way that he does?
Yeah. It's just a name prospect. I don't know.
So, okay, here we are asking you a couple of things. In a game seven, a must win, winner take all game seven, which past or present athlete do you have to have on your roster? Also, of the final four series, two in hoops, two in hockey, which one do you feel like is going to be the most competitive, has the potential for a game seven? Vote however you like. It's your MVP. Which of the final four series is your MVP? So that's on Twitter at Amy After Hours and on Facebook. And then while you're there, check out the photos of the baby bunnies. And I'll have to tell you that our friend Luke Braun responded with, I wrote to him and said, what do I do now? You're the rabbit expert. And he responded with some advice. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
One endeavors and he swings, watches, left field, back toward the wall. He's done it again. Rafael Devers is not human. A sixth straight game with a home run, a two-run shot to left, and the Red Sox lead 3-0 in the fourth.
Welcome to the Red Sox history books. He stands alone, the only Red Sox hitter to do that, six in a row, and fitting, I think, Mike. Another typical backspinning line drive the other way, and now Mattingly and Griffey and the all-time history books are in his sights.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Red Sox Radio, Rafael Devers, understandably being overshadowed by what the Celtics are attempting to do in getting back to the NBA Finals, but a new team record, six games, six home runs, and a shutout over the Tampa Bay Rays is taking place in St. Pete. Producer Jay actually just attended his first game at Tropicana Field. How would you assess the home of the Tampa Bay Rays, Jay?
Dark, damp, a little dreary.
And just that audio, the sound is just absurd.
I wanted to like it. I really did. I even saw the Mets there, my favorite team. So, like, I had rooting interest. I was all in. And it was just kind of awful to, like, be on the beach in 90 degrees all day and have fun in the sun and then go into this warehouse to watch the baseball game. So I wasn't too thrilled on that. But it was fun.
All right. Well, maybe that's not what draws people to the Trop, but the Red Sox and Rafael Devers. Franchise record not on his mind. But, of course, people are keeping track for him. And Alex Cora loves what he sees from Raf.
He's making adjustments. He's grinding through it. And little by little, he's feeling comfortable. He's not there yet. I don't think he's there yet. Probably, you know, if you ask him, he's not there yet. You know, we've been talking about it. Yeah. You act surprised, but that's how we feel.
He's probably the hottest hitter in baseball, and he's doing a lot of special things at the plate.
That's the assessment of Kevin Cash. So here's the funny thing is I actually forgot that Mike Trout did this 2 years ago. It seems like most of what Mike Trout does these days really doesn't matter.
Like six other games
than,
in a row?
Other than for stats, no. Seven, actually. He homered in seven consecutive games. That was actually in 2022. And yes, it was September, which means the Angels were not relevant at the time. But Rafael did say through his interpreter that he was proud to be in a conversation with Mike Trout because that's the next step. He's already got the franchise mark. Can he match Mike Trout's mark from late 22? So not quite 2 years ago. Let's see. I'm trying to see where the others – So he's got 6 games in a row. I was just reading this by about third baseman, the longest by a third baseman over the past century, going back to Greg Nettles. Do you remember Greg Nettles?
Yankees, right?
San Diego.
Oh.
Greg Nettles in the 80s. Houston's Morgan Ensberg. All right. Did he do anything else except for that in 06? And then Nolan Arenado going back to 15. So there are some other of your third basemen. It is fun to get the home runs because, you know, chicks dig the home runs and all. But I think most importantly is what you're hearing from Alex is, hey, we're trying to get him to get to this point where he can hit whatever he wants and however he wants and to be able to hit any pitch that they throw at him. So then you're kind of breaking through. And speaking of Red Sox, I have seen some of you listeners write to us and say, if it's a game 7, I want David Ortiz. Oh, yeah, Big Poppy. You want to talk about clutch. He was built for that role with the Red Sox once he was traded there by the Minnesota Twins. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line always. The Infinity Sports Network. It's the first time I've mentioned it tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue, so I'm just not anxious to keep saying it and stumble over it. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're asking you about the best of the best. The buzz is where in the upcoming conference finals in both hoops and hockey. Also, there are pictures of baby bunnies, and they are so cute and so sweet. And our friend Luke Braun, who raises bunnies, so this is one of his favorite things. In fact, I think he likes his bunnies more than he likes covering football, at least covering the Minnesota Vikings. He says, keep an eye out for mom. Mom's off doing her thing and will probably come back. Don't be worried if you never see her. She's very good at that. You've been blessed, he says. You've been blessed by baby bunnies. I like it. Yes, they're really sweet. And I do want to get up close and personal, maybe reach down and pet them. Or just pick one up, but I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want to scare mom. I don't want to scare them. And who knows what happens after that. I don't want human interaction to be the reason they don't live a normal life.
Can they handle that yet?
Maybe, or but ever. Could mom handle it? At this point, those bunnies are pretty helpless, right? So they can't do anything. They can't go anywhere. They can't hop away from you. They can't hop, period. They can't even open their eyes. They can hear, though, because that's what seemed to rile them up. You should have seen them all squirmy down there in their little hole. I wonder how deep that nest goes, too.
What's an average rabbit hole depth? It's a good question.
I have no idea. But they were right near the surface, so I bet that it doesn't go that far down because they were all kind of right underneath the fur that was spread over the hole.
Wild rabbit holes are typically 3 to 8 feet. Hmm. 8 feet.
8 feet?
How the hell does it get out of there?
Well, an adult rabbit could do it, but babies? If it's 8 feet, why are they so close to the surface then? There's no way.
There's no way. That's ridiculous.
That's quite a hole. We actually filled 6 or 7 holes on the other side of the yard. Now, they predated me. They were there before I got there, but I'm pretty sure they got deeper. Or they became a network after I took over the house. And one of the things that I wanted Bob to do right away was to fill the holes, which he did with dirt. So they're now like the dirt is all shoved down in them on the other side. I'm wondering if this was the product of that. Let's quick talk to Jeff in Massachusetts. You got 60 seconds. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely like Dennis Rodman for my 7th game.
Mm. He's a load.
That guy could play some defense,
mm-hmm.
clean up the glass.
Right.
Oh, how would I love him on the Celtics right now?
Yeah, he was ferocious, and there wasn't a rebound he couldn't get to, and that is such a huge weapon. Yeah, not to mention his leaping ability. He was quick, and he just was flamboyant, would attract a lot of attention, too. And I think back then, he was a bit of an enforcer as well. Maybe not officially labeled that, but that was a role that you had for different basketball teams. And when he was with the Bad Boys, to be sure.
And he had that killer instinct that the Celtics don't have right now. Mm. You know, he would be, I would love him right now. And I didn't like him as a player, but that guy could play some ball.
Yes, he could. All right, Jeff, thanks so much for your phone call in Massachusetts. Good to have you listening. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, Baby Bunnies, Polls, and Game 7 Gotta Haves. And good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. You made it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
He's not there yet. You know, we've been talking about it. Yeah. You act surprised, but that's how we feel.
He's probably the hottest hitter in baseball, and he's doing a lot of special things at the plate.
That's the assessment of Kevin Cash. So here's the funny thing is I actually forgot that Mike Trout did this 2 years ago. It seems like most of what Mike Trout does these days really doesn't matter.
Like six games in a row?
Other than for stats, no. Seven, actually. He homered in seven consecutive games. That was actually in 2022. And yes, it was September, which means the Angels were not relevant at the time. But Rafael did say through his interpreter that he was proud to be in a conversation with Mike Trout because that's the next step. He's already got the franchise mark. Can he match Mike Trout's mark from late 22? So not quite 2 years ago. Let's see. I'm trying to see where the others. So he's got. Six games in a row. I was just reading this by about third baseman, the longest by a third baseman over the past century, going back to Greg Nettles. Do you remember Greg Nettles?
Yankees, right?
San Diego.
Oh.
Greg Nettles in the 80s. Houston's Morgan Ensberg. All right. Did he do anything else except for that in 06? And then Nolan Arenado going back to 15. So there are some other of your third basemen. It is fun to get the home runs because, you know, chicks dig the home runs and all. But I think most importantly is what you're hearing from Alex is, hey, we're trying to get him to get to this point where he can hit whatever he wants and however he wants and to be able to hit any pitch that they throw at him. So then you're kind of breaking through. And speaking of Red Sox, I have seen some of you listeners write to us and say, if it's a game seven, I want David Ortiz. Oh yeah, Big Poppy. You want to talk about clutch. He was built for that role with the Red Sox once he was traded there by the Minnesota Twins. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line always. The Infinity Sports Network. The first time I've mentioned it tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue, so I'm just not anxious to keep saying it and stumble over it. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're asking you about the best of the best. The buzz is where in the upcoming conference finals in both hoops and hockey. Also, there are pictures of baby bunnies, and they are so cute and so sweet. And our friend Luke Braun, who raises bunnies, so this is one of his favorite things. In fact, I think he likes his bunnies more than he likes covering football, at least covering the Minnesota Vikings. He says, keep an eye out for mom. Mom's off doing her thing and will probably come back. Don't be worried if you never see her. She's very good at that. You've been blessed, he says. You've been blessed by baby bunnies. I like it. Yes, they're really sweet. And I do want to get up close and personal, maybe reach down and pet them or just pick one up. But I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want to scare mom. I don't want to scare them. And who knows what happens after that. I don't want human interaction to be the reason they don't live a normal life.
Can they handle that yet?
Maybe, or but ever. Could mom handle it? At this point, those bunnies are pretty helpless, right? So they can't do anything. They can't go anywhere. They can't hop away from you. They can't hop, period. They can't even open their eyes. They can hear, though, because that's what seemed to rile them up. You should have seen them all squirmy down there in their little hole. I wonder how deep that nest goes, too.
What's an average rabbit hole depth? It's a good question.
I have no idea. But they were right near the surface, so I bet that it doesn't go that far down because they were all kind of right underneath the fur that was spread over the hole.
Wild rabbit holes are typically 3 to 8 feet. Hmm. 8 feet?
8 feet?
How the hell's it get out of there?
Well, an adult rabbit could do it, but babies? If it's 8 feet, why are they so close to the surface then? There's no way.
There's no way. That's ridiculous.
That's quite a hole. We actually filled 6 or 7 holes on the other side of the yard. Now, they predated me. They were there before I got there, but I'm pretty sure they got deeper or they became a network after I took over the house. And one of the things that I wanted Bob to do right away was to fill the holes, which he did with dirt. So they're now like the dirt is all shoved down in them on the other side. I'm wondering if this was the product of that. Let's quick talk to Jeff in Massachusetts. You got 60 seconds. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely like Dennis Rodman for my 7th game.
Mm. He's a load.
That guy could play some defense,
mm-hmm.
clean up the glass.
Right.
Oh, how would I love him on the Celtics right now?
Yeah, he was ferocious, and there wasn't a rebound he couldn't get to, and that is such a
right.
huge weapon. Yeah, not to mention his leaping ability. He was quick, and he just was flamboyant, would attract a lot of attention, too. And I think back then, he was a bit of an enforcer as well. Maybe not officially yeah. labeled that, but that was a role that you had for different basketball teams. And when he was with the Bad Boys, to be sure.
And he had that killer instinct that the Celtics don't have right now.
Mm.
You know, he would be, oh, I would love him right now. And I didn't like him as a player, but that guy could play some ball.
Mm. Yes, he could. All right, Jeff, thanks so much for your phone call in Massachusetts. Good to have you listening. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, Baby Bunnies, Polls, and Game 7 Gotta Haves. And good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. You made it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.